Well, let's start with right now. We'll talk about the situation in Afghanistan. I'll just keep to uncontroversial sources like the New York Times. According to the New York Times, there are 7 to 8 million people in Afghanistan on the verge of starvation. That was true actually before September 11th. Right, they were surviving on international aid. On September 16th, the Times reported, I'm quoting it, that the United States demanded from Pakistan the elimination of truck convoys that provide much of the food and other supplies to Afghanistan's civilian population. As far as I could determine, there was no reaction in the United States, or for that matter in Europe, to the demand to impose massive starvation on millions of people. The threat of military strikes forced the removal of international aid workers that crippled the assistance programs. Actually, I'm quoting again from the New York Times. Refugees reaching Pakistan after arduous journeys from Afghanistan are describing scenes of desperation and fear at home as the threat of American-led military attacks turns their long-running misery into a potential catastrophe. The country was on a lifeline, and we just cut the line, quoting an evacuated aid worker in the New York Times magazine. The World Food Program, the UN program, were able to resume after three weeks in early October. They began to resume at a lower level, resume food shipment. They don't have international aid workers within, so the distribution system's hampered. That was suspended as soon as the bombing began. They then resumed, but at a lower pace, while aid agencies leveled scathing condemnations of U.S. airdrops, condemning them as propaganda tools, which are probably doing more harm than good. And that happens to be quoting from the London Financial Times, but it's easy to continue. After the first week of bombing, the New York Times reported in a back page inside a column on something else that by the arithmetic of the United Nations, there will soon be 7.5 million Afghans in acute need of even a loaf of bread. And there are only a few weeks left before the harsh winter will make deliveries to many areas totally impossible. Continuing to quote, but with bombs falling, the delivery rate is down to what one half of what is needed. Casual comment. Which tells us that Western civilization is anticipating the slaughter of, well, do the arithmetic, 3 to 4 million people, something like that. On the same day, the leader of Western civilization, dismissed with contempt once again, offers of negotiation for delivery of the alleged target, Osama bin Laden, and a request for some evidence to substantiate the demand for total capitulation was dismissed. On the same day, the special rapporteur of the United Nations in charge of food pleaded with the United States to stop the bombing to try to save millions of victims. As far as I'm aware, that was unreported. The major aid agencies, Oxfam and other Christian Aid and others, joined in that plea. Didn't find a report in the New York Times. There was a line in the Boston Globe hidden in a story about another topic, Kashmir. I could easily go on. But all of that, first of all, indicates to us what's happening. It looks like what's happening is some kind of silent genocide. It also gives a good deal of insight into the elite culture, the culture that we're part of. It indicates that whatever what will happen, we don't know, but plans are being made and programs implemented on the assumption that they may lead to the death of several million people in the next couple of weeks. Very casually, with no comment, no particular thought about it, that's just kind of normal here. And in a good part of Europe, not in the rest of the world. In fact, not even in much of Europe. So if you read the Irish press or the press in Scotland, say, that close, reactions are very different. That's what's happening now. What's happening now is very much under our control. We can do a lot to affect what's happening. And that's roughly it.